Incidentally, one of the better books on spiritual healing, beside The Art of Spiritual Healing, The Master Speaks, is a compilation of techniques that is based all upon Joel's teaching. The Master Speaks. I don't know if Tanya has it, but if she has, I think she you should get it, because you'll use it all your life. It's rather nice when a family has at least one person in it who can take care of emergencies, people getting sick, and bring a peace to them and a healing. Every time you attempt to heal someone, even if they're not healed, you've done some good, you know. Just the mere fact that you've worked at it, the person may not jump up. You'll find that some good was accomplished in some way that you may not be aware of. You've got to give the patient the very best possible effort that you have. And oftentimes, there's not one meditation will do it, as you just saw. We had three for Carol, and that's unusual too. Usually, we work for patients week on, week off, week on, week in, week, one week after another, and they report a tiny bit of improvement. Some of the most successful cases have taken 2 months. And if the patient is urged to call you back, to keep calling you back, you'll be grateful for it, because every time they call you, you know that they really expect you to heal them. And having that expectation gives you the perseverance to follow through. Sometimes you may not even have the power and feel you don't have the power. But the fact that this person calls you back again and again finally makes you say, well, I've got to get the power, by gosh. And you stay up that night. And by 2 or 3 o'clock, you may have solved the problem. You may have outdone yourself, reached higher than you ever did before. But that reaching then becomes more normal for you. And the altitude of your prayer becomes higher. Sometimes when you don't succeed, you wonder why. There's a tendency to say, well, they're not receptive. I tossed that one out long ago. You can't blame it on the patient. You just can't. It's your consciousness. And when you don't succeed, you're just not where you ought to be. It takes keeping the consciousness during the day. You can't just meditate for the person who's sick and then go out and play a round of golf, do something else, and forget all about the spirit. And then expect the next call to be receiving your best. It's a dedication, but you're the one who benefits, because as you keep tuned up, you find that you have kept ailments away from yourself, and you've kept away from yourself all of the things to which flesh is heir. Some may not make it a profession. In fact, if 5 do, I would be surprised. But at least when you keep up the practice of listening to the Christ, you will be free from the maladies that people generally succumb to. Christ should be your constant companion until you can proclaim that I am the Christ. No one can say how long it will take, but I do know that each year you become better at what you do, just like everything else. I've seen many a domestic tangle untangle when one individual started being spiritual, and when two start to be spiritual, they usually end up in a very companionable marriage. But we're not going to discuss the human benefits. There are many. But when the illusion is better or not better, we cease to be concerned about it. We know that Spirit is on the path that I follow. And to be spiritually well means to be totally well. Even the image acts all right after that. It wouldn't be right to pass up Easter without some thoughts about Easter. Throughout the world, there's a soft spot in man's heart for Easter because of the Christ and the seeming hardships he went through and the final denouement when he showed that he personally could conquer death. When you think of Easter, it should occur to you that your opinion, your awareness, your appreciation should be slightly different than an average person's. The New Testament teaches man a new way of life. It isn't common knowledge what it teaches, but the new way of life is the inner life, the mystical life. And when Christ demonstrated that he could be on a cross one day, crucified, and living while crucified, if we had known the truth, we would have said, well, he's not in the body. He didn't go through any pain. Once we get the idea that Christ could do that only because he was not in the body, because the body was just another apparition, then we see there is a different meaning to death. He was trying to tell us about that meaning, that we can die because we're not in the body that dies. Do you believe this? Do you hear it? That he didn't die and wasn't raised up by the Father, but was not in the body that died, as you are not now. In 10 minutes you can forget that you're not in the body. But that's the teaching that Jesus Christ gave to us, that the human race is not in the human body. Only Christ is in the invisible, and only Christ will be your rebirth. And only God is on the earth, for the earth is the Lord's. But they're not talking about the visible earth. They're talking about the real earth, not the illusory earth. And you can touch it and you can grow flowers out of it, but it isn't there. Always, there must be a sure remembrance of the fact that the material body is not the vehicle God gave you. All things were created by Him, and the answer to the material body not being created by Him, when people ask you, you can't give them, because you'd have to say, well, it isn't here. I don't have one. You're looking at the illusion of myself. And you'll feel funny speaking about it, because it takes a long time before you get used to that, that there is no human race. There are no people. You're speaking every day to the Christ of God. And if your tone is not the kind you'd use to the Christ of God, then you haven't become aware that the Christ of God is standing straight in front of you. Now, I know this is a mystical teaching. There's no other way to rise in consciousness than to abide by it and to live with it and to grow with it. So start looking at the world a different way. You can love someone even more if he's the Christ than if he's not. And the you that does the loving must be the Christ. Another thing about Easter is that when Jesus taught us that he was not there, but Christ was, when he invited crucifixion, he was telling us that there is no need to run from any evil that besets you. If there's no body there, what is evil? Someone picks up a gun to shoot you. Someone picks up a knife to hit you. Someone does something to misappropriate your funds. But it's always a physical something. And you're falling for the illusion. A drunk gets in your way in the street. You say they oughtn't to have a city with people like that in it. Well, they don't have one. You only think they do. Get so that you're aware of the truth at every time. Don't let the human illusion get to you. You may have tight shoes, but you don't really have a foot to put in those shoes. And that's what Jesus was teaching the world. But he wasn't teaching it for that day. He was teaching it for those who would follow, those who would learn what he was teaching. What does it mean to you when Peter kisses the foot of someone else? or when Jesus washes the foot of someone else. He's paying homage to the Christ of that individual. He's saying, just as if he had said it in words, but he's saying for those who can hear him, who can understand him, I'm not really washing your foot, but I'm washing away your material body. This is a symbol of washing your material body away. I'm paying homage to the Christ of you. And we want to be alert to every little shade of teaching that comes, because it will convince you finally that you know what he was saying, that he was teaching the world, the invisible world, must be reached. We must be living in it. We must be aware, because we are going to raise ourselves up, to lift ourselves up. We're going to raise the Christ in us. And we're going to make the fifth level. We're going to find one day we are in our soul. We're going to release it from the fourth world. And in our soul, we will have new power of speech and vision. You will find your inner eye open, your inner ear. You are going to discover things you don't know that will amaze you. What do you think about a body that would be 20 foot tall if you saw one? Why, just a 7 foot man is terribly high, but 20 foot. What would we do with him? How would we live with him? When we say that you are infinite, what do you think when you learn you have an infinite body? Can you imagine what it is, and yet it's yours? Who possesses it? This 5'9" person? Or this 6 foot person? Who possesses these infinite bodies? What are they made of? Let your light shine. They are made of light. You have an infinite body of light that is not being used. It doesn't know a thing about the problems of the world. It doesn't know a thing about your human life. It's perfectly free, perfectly perfect. And it's real. Now you've got to learn to accept it in consciousness. Because until you accept it in consciousness, you won't have the use of it. Now you, an individual of infinite light, call upon a person who has a sickness. Do you see how you have more opportunity to heal this individual than just another person? You must be aware that your patient has an infinite body of light just as you have. And when you recognize it, when your spiritual consciousness can recognize it, that's when the healing takes place. How How can an infinite body of light live in time? The minute you live in time, you exclude your infinite body of light. An infinite body is in all parts of time, so that time is no longer. An infinite body is where it was 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, all now. An infinite body covers all that space is. There's no clocks in infinity. An infinite body will look at an infinite body and say, why, we're one already. And just as I am, you are. All healings by Jesus Christ were in the now. There wasn't one healing performed by Jesus Christ that was performed in time. You never know it looking at the words of the Bible. If he had been in time, there'd be no instantaneous healings. That's what was telling us he was not in time. It's a great secret. It's a wonderful truth, and it's worth spending 5 years just dwelling on it, that not only must you get out of time, you must lift your concepts out of time, but the Christ that you are is not in time anyway. So if you attain Christhood, you will be out of time. Everyone who was healed in the Bible was shocked by it. He didn't know for that moment he was lifted out of time. And I've seen it work on this local level just as beautifully as I could hope for, where you could try everything you want to try. Nothing works, and then you take yourself and your individual patient out of time, and where's the problem? Just where is it? It dissolves. There's no problem. Now, it's a hard thing to do, and I want you to give it some thought. But remember, when you take yourself out of time, you do more than heal a patient. That's when truth floods your being, and you are immersed in truth. Let's go over now to the secret place of the Most High. Everything in the Bible has a way of coming back to the same thing. What is the secret place? Where is it? You've got to know. You can't go on not knowing it. You've got to know. Just one letter and one word. I. And you've got to know the ramifications of I, because otherwise you still don't know the secret place. I, Christ, Son of God. When you say I, and you mean I, Christ, you're in the secret place. But if you don't know the fullness of the meaning of Christ, you've hardly opened the door. Got to expand the meaning of Christ until when you say I, you mean all that Christ is, all that Christ does, all that Christ represents, everything Christ is, I am. Magnify the Christ. Magnify the Lord. And no matter how you magnify it, it all comes down to that secret place where I, or Christ, or Spirit, is the secret place. The secret place is I, but I is infinite. So that you're in infinity while you're saying I. Now take the word infinity. Where on the globe are you not? So anyone from the globe, anyone in any part of the globe, can call you, and you are there immediately. The very place where they stand, you are. In that knowledge of oneness, you're in a position to remove every error in their lives. But of course, most people are not aware that they are infinite. And they're not practicing healing either. But it is coming to the place where there will be more infinite eyes practicing healing, and this world will change. Because when people are living in a secret place, they are invulnerable. And they are everything that Christ is, which is omniscient, omnipresent, omniactive, omnithis, and omni. We have a marvelous opportunity in the healing work to bring forth a measure of these Christ qualities in our patients. And if you're already in healing work, to bring the Christ into your healing is one of the great privileges, if not the greatest, that you can offer to your community. Our meditation tonight is once more a self-healing one. I've had people come up to me and tell me what was wrong. Well, let's try the self-healing process and see if we can't at least allay the belief that there is something wrong. We can pick out 20 different ailments and find them in the audience, but I can assure you that there's less in this audience than there would be in just 200 businessmen gathered together. Some of us can feel the living presence. What have you told the presence to do for you? I hope you've said nothing. Because the presence knows what you need before you need it. Then you say to yourself, well, doesn't the presence know that I need a healing? No, it doesn't. Because what you call a healing is not a healing to the present. The presence has pronounced you perfect and has said, "Be ye perfect." It has no knowledge of your problems. It knows everything about you because you are the Christ, and it knows everything about the Christ. It's going to take an effort to get you high enough where something in you shifts over and you realize that you don't need a healing. What you need is the truth. And the only thing that will prove that to you will be when your problem is gone. I'm aware of it. You can't deny that you have nothing because you feel you have. And that's why we're in the healing business, just to remove what you feel you have, but never to convince you that we have healed you of a problem. We have healed you of an illusion. You probably don't care if it's an illusion or a real thing, but you want to get rid of it. And that, again, is your belief that you have something. When you heal an individual, and he says, "I am healed," or you see that he is, you have removed the 5 cents testimony which makes him feel that my eyes see, my body feels, and so forth, this problem. You have removed the hypnotist. It's one of the most difficult things in the world to shake it off. But that's all it is. There's not a sickness on the face of the earth. All there is on the face of the earth is hypnotism. A simple word that means my mind experiences that which is not there. But of course the mind will experience that which is not there. It will see a body that is not there, and it will experience a problem on the body which is not there. You might call that a double hypnotism. So we're not working with that body at all. We're not working with a physical body. We're working with the mind that is hypnotized into thinking there is a physical body. Why does it think so? The 5 senses say so. The 5 liars, they are called in the Bible, even in the Old Testament. Joshua defeated the 5 kings. Who were the 5 kings? The 5 senses. He went out in every battle he had. He always beat the 5 kings. He won a war once just by blowing a trumpet, and the walls came tumbling down. He saw through the illusion, and it fell apart. He never lost a battle, because every battle was with a phantom. Every battle was with an army that wasn't there. He was always outnumbered. What difference did it make? They still weren't there. The Bible doesn't underscore these things, but when you become alert to it and learn about it, you become one of the many who have learned that the Bible doesn't say and underline the illusion for me, because most of this real seems perfectly real to a human being. And it is only when I start to turn and look for the inner truth that the illusion becomes apparent. And even then, it clings to you. Until one day, you are aware that all on the earth is illusion. All on the earth is illusion. We're waking up. And if you don't have a weak stomach, and you can take learning about the illusions of the world, you can face them bravely. So far back they knew about them. Don Quixote, the buffoon chasing down every windmill. What was the author saying? Obviously he was making it clear that the windmills were an illusion, and that's what life was to him. Gulliver's Travels. You can pick any of the classics that we're teaching. But still we didn't get it. We were still lingering in superstition. We're medieval in the present day. Thank heaven we have something called the Infinite Way. You may find other teachings that have the same understanding of the illusion, but this one certainly has. And with it, we are learning that we can be as free as Christ is, because it is us. I feel tempted to set a task for you to attain, which I know is impossible, but I'm going to do it anyway. Why don't you try a whole day? A whole day. I'm not saying be the Christ for a whole day, but recognize that everyone else is. Treat everyone as you would if you were positive that they are the Christ. Try it for a whole day. I mean, make it something you're giving back to Jesus, who was the Christ on this day. And tomorrow, give the day to Christ. Do it. And if you falter, just like a kid on the piano, well, you made a mistake, start over again. Play it back. Play the mistake so you don't make the mistake. Treat everyone tomorrow as if they were the Christ. It will pay dividends. You will see people change in front of you, and the change won't be only in their behavior, it'll be in your eyes too. Give it a whirl. So tomorrow, for us, the last day of the seminar, the last morning of the seminar, let's make it a Christ day that carries over from the seminar. And let's take that awareness, or that decision to make it an awareness, back to our homes. This will be one of the best Mondays we've ever had. I think I can continue tomorrow and perhaps we can find some of our inner self that we brought from home but didn't know we brought, and that we can go home with it and feel different about ourselves. We're really wonderful people because we're immortals. And if we start feeling the wonder of our life, we'll show it forth. Tomorrow we'll call it Christ Day and make it as good a Christ Day as we know how. And that's the day I'll see you. Thanks again.